I attended a memorial service once where I noticed a beautiful thing about the front of the program. The cover showed a smiling picture of the person who had passed, and below it listed their birthday as sunrise and the day of their death as sunset. Our scriptures tell us that with God, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are as one day. However many years we get, in the fullness of time, it's all as if just sunrise to sunset, one day. On Friday night, just past 11:15 p.m., the sun set on the earthly life of our Father Jim. He was someone who always noticed the sacredness of sunrises and sunsets. Many times he told us about sitting in his backyard with his coffee and his joy as he watched the sun break over the trees in the morning as the birds were just starting to sing. And how whenever he was near water, as when he was on vacation, he would go and put his feet in the shallows and watch the sun set from a place where he could see, and I can hear him now, all the layers of creation. Lithosphere, earth, some of you are recognizing this. Hydrosphere, water. Atmosphere, air. Noosphere, spirit, present in everything. If our life is as one day, what a glorious day it was for Jim Callen. A man who was 3 times almost prevented from being or remaining a priest, but who in the final say was blessed to live his vocation for 50 years, who had big dreams and saw them become a reality, and who loved loving you guys. On his very first day that he came to Corpus in 1976, he couldn't sleep the night before. He was so excited, and he got here a day early. That's how much he couldn't wait. And I know for a fact that that feeling never left. That was him every single Sunday coming here to see you guys. So he got to do just what he wanted. He got to love you for a long, long time. The question for us, the question that Father Jim answered so well, is what will we do with the dash, the little tiny line between sunrise date and sunset date? What will we do, as Mary Oliver says, with our one wild and precious life? In the time of Jesus, people were also asking this question. They put it to this wise teacher, John the Baptist. They asked him, what should we do? A lot of us sitting with that feeling this morning. What should we do? What shall we do with the time that's given to us when none of us knows exactly how long we have? When people asked him this existential question, John gave an immediate and simple answer. And actually, it sounds a lot like the answer that Father Jim had found his way to as well. Care for the poor and be attentive to the Spirit. John begins with the essential things, essential works of service, justice, and mercy. If you have 2 cloaks, give one of them away. So anybody who's given to Lydia's closet, you're on the right track. Keep it up. And if you have any food that's extra, just share it. I felt very blessed for many, many reasons that yesterday happened to be our second new neighbor dinner for our asylum seeker friends. It felt like it was coming at just the right time for us, too. John goes on, if you're enmeshed in something that you know isn't good, that doesn't match your values, like the tax collector, do something different. It's never too late. Nobody's a lost cause. And if you're stuck in habits that harm other people, do your best to transform them. Let yourself be transformed, as John tells the soldiers to do. We're so ready to give up on ourselves, most of us. But with God, the book is never closed. God is always and ever hopeful for us. Take a minute and just look to your left and your right and around you. We don't have to look far at this church to find people who have utterly changed their lives through the course of coming here. So we give each other faith that this really is possible. At 13 years old, Father Jim's first sermon to his seminary class told people that they were the light of the world. And he's spent his life telling us that ever since. He saw the light in us so we could see it first in ourselves and then share it and see it with other people. John's instructions also boil down to this. When you're lost, when you don't know what to do, go to the poor. When you're paralyzed by indecision, this is always the right decision. When Corpus Christi was struggling to keep its doors open in 1976, Father Jim urged tithing, giving away from the very small coffers a big portion of that money to the poor. And with that, this parish's life began to revive. When this flock was feeling lost, wondering how to carry on after the events at Corpus Christi in 1998, its leaders made a decision. They went to Haiti. And there, our friends helped them find their courage again and know what direction to go. When I sat with Father Jim the day he died, it seemed that his memories of those times close to the poor were on his mind. His mission work, as he called it, he had dreamed of being a missionary when he was a boy. His dreams the night before took him back, he said, to Haiti, took him to Mexico, took him to Bay Street, right here in Rochester. When my heart is heavy, I've learned not always to go to a movie or a coffee shop or to some place that seems obvious to cheer me up. I've learned to ask whether there's somebody in the hospital who needs a visit, or I'll ask myself if there's someone sad who needs a card, or I'll ask myself how long it's been since the last time I went with the street outreach team to bring some supplies to our brothers and sisters who live outside. Every time I do, they remind me about life and its beauty even when it's hard, as it is for them every day. And I return from this feeling as if I'm seeing life through a wide-angle lens when before I was just looking through a microscope. Often we hear it said that we should live as if we might die tomorrow. The truth might be a little more complicated. If we lived every day as if it might be our last, I suspect there would be a lot of skydiving and trips to the tropics and spontaneous wedding proposals, perhaps, but maybe not a lot of enduring relationships which take the nitty-gritty. Maybe not a lot of savoring the simple pleasures that make average days sweet, not in spite of, but because of their averageness. Would we still be as mindful of things like a cup of coffee sipped slowly, or the color of the lake in the evening when it blends into the sky, or the quiet of candlelight and a meal with a good friend? We might also miss out on a set of commitments that require determination to be in it for the long haul, not just when things are fun, but when they're a slog as well. I think there wouldn't be much social justice work or peace building. I think there wouldn't be as many strong friendships or families or churches if we lived without any sense of the long term. The balance we're after, maybe, is this. Life is a gift. So it's to be treated reverently, it is to be respected and treasured, never treated flippantly or recklessly. And gifts are meant to be used. Last Sunday, I was talking with Vinnie DeLulio, who is 6 and sings in the choir up here. And I asked him what he wanted for Christmas, and he said, a lightsaber. And at this, a memory came back to me, because I actually longed for that very same thing when I was 6. That was at the top of my list when I was his age. And on Christmas morning, sure enough, a toy lightsaber turned up under the tree for my 6-year-old self. But when I opened it, I wouldn't use it, which was noticed by my parents. When they asked me why I wasn't playing with it or even switching it on, I replied that I knew that once that would happen, the battery was going to start to go down. So the best thing was never to pick it up in order to preserve it. And a lot of times that's where we stay. We start living by this principle I don't want to use this gift of my life because I might lose it. And Jesus told us, yeah, that's the whole point. If we only seek safety and security, if we never unwrap our life, never risk beauty, risk love, risk schemes for a better world, even if they might not work out, then we're missing what we're here for, which is to do something beautiful. Yeah. We are here to do something that lights us up. All the readings today are about joy, and a lot of you, I could tell, are sitting there going, this is the furthest thing from us today. But to the great ones, joy is never actually that far away. And I noticed this morning that I could hear Father Jim speaking to us. I could hear him saying to us just what those readings said, talking to us about joy and how that's what we should live in no matter what. A friend of mine recently returned from a trip to visit Richard Rohr's spiritual center in New Mexico. He's really looked up to Richard Rohr as a teacher. And he said, you know what I noticed first about him, now that I'm not just reading his books, but seeing him in person? The contagious nature of his laugh. If you find yourself feeling really low this week, I recommend to you taking a moment and listening to the laugh of any great spiritual teacher. Desmond Tutu, the Dalai Lama. Just search YouTube and listen to recordings, not of their lectures, but of their laugh. Father Jim taught us this too. The underappreciated sign of a person truly grounded in God is a great laugh. John knew that joy is always available to us, and true joy comes from helping others. He also knew that life is a mystery where all our actions, even the ones that aren't really actions at all, have great weight. I baptize you with water, he said, but someone is coming who will baptize you with the Spirit. The material things, clothing and feeding people, matter a lot, and the things of the Spirit matter too. My friend shared that Richard Rohr, now that he is in his elder years, spends at least 2 hours a day sitting still and looking out at the view from his front porch of his hermitage, a sweeping vista of a parking lot. Nevertheless, spending 2 hours gazing, as he puts it, looking out at the world, at other people with loving attention, has transformed the way he sees and has transformed the person he is. For instance, Rohr says, he noticed only after spending many days this way that there was some graffiti written on a dumpster at the end of the parking lot. After several more days attentively gazing, it was revealed to him that actually it wasn't graffiti at all. Rather, someone had scrawled in beautiful painted letters on the dumpster the words, I love you. And this is where he rests his eyes every single day now. He takes in these words over and over again, written there on the eyesore of the old dumpster. Isn't this just as much a part of why we're here as to feed the hungry? We're here to find saving beauty and signs of the Spirit written in the most everyday places, in bread and wine that become the body and blood of Christ, a gift that Father Jim treasured very much, in the chatter of squirrels and the song of the birds, in sunshine and rain, in a Rachmaninoff concerto, and yes, even in the ugly places. Jesus went to the throwaway places and wrote a signature of love there. And we're here to look for it, to notice it everywhere we can. There's so much wrong with the world, it's easy to look out and see only a dumpster, but there's beauty, there's love. It's scrawled on and in everything, everywhere. And our invitation is sometimes simply to behold it and be transformed. In all that he did, John the Baptist was clear on the most important mission that he had. That was to point to Christ. When people tried to declare John the Messiah, he waved them off and repeated, I am not the Savior. I'm just the herald. I'm here to make a way so God can do something amazing. Did you see the full moon on your way into church today? The mystics say we can never confuse the finger pointing at the moon with the moon. Father Jim, who always knew that Jesus was and ever shall be the senior pastor of this church, made his life a mission to point to Jesus, not to be him, but yes, to be a vessel of his love and his kindness. And this is what he believed all of us could do, what he hoped all of us would do, whether we're here for a year or 100 years. It's simply sunrise to sunset for all of us, one day. So friends, let's make it a good one. And like our Father Jim, live as reverently, as bravely, as joyfully, as beautifully as we can.